We give you all the glory for your presence in our midst. Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for the fellowship. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for great and mighty things in your presence. Thank you for the many, many things you have purposed for us in this place that will affect our lives, Lord. Lord, we give all the glory. Thank you for great and mighty things. Thank you for your awesome presence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you as you speak through me. I'm but a child, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that as you speak, I too I hear. All of us, we hear. Thank you for hearing ears in the name of Jesus. Lord, we bless you. Thank you for the spirit of knowledge of your glory pouring forth. The spirit of wisdom, knowledge, understanding, power and mind, counsel and fear of God pouring forth into our heart. The spirit of great and mighty things pouring forth upon us. And Lord, we receive. Thank you, Lord of Lords, that we won't live here the same way as we have gone. Thank you as you speak and have your way in this place. Lord, we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. And everyone says amen, amen. Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. Lord, we bless you. Our God is wonderful, and our God is faithful to his own. One thing we have to always understand is our God says you and I, as his sons, we will worship him in spirit and in truth. In spirit, the Holy Spirit is here in our midst, and he's on the inside of us and with us. And then truth, because God and his word are one and the same. Truth is the word of God. God is truth. And so we see that true worshippers, if we truly want to worship God, we have to worship him in spirit and in truth. The spirit and the word of God, they go together. Truth, another name for truth is the word of God. And so we cannot worship God without his spirit and the word of his spirit, the Bible. The spirit of God and the word of God, they are one. God and his word are one and the same. And so the Holy Spirit knows the interpretation, everything. God knows himself, isn't it? For God and his word are one and the same. So I cannot use my own interpretation of the word of God because I don't know God. Only God knows himself. And so if he does not reveal his word, making you and I to understand his word, we won't know him. And we have to understand that the outpouring of God flows forth with his word, the correct interpretation of his word. And only he knows the correct interpretation of his word. And that's why we have to study the word under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So if we want God to flow, to pour forth his spirit like a river into our lives, upon us, it has to be by the word of God, the correct interpretation of the word of God. For God and his word are one and the same. True worshippers must worship him in spirit and in truth. So we cannot say we are worshipping God through our own interpretation of the word of God. And that is why it is important for all of us to also be studying the word of God at home. If I veer off, God may use you to correct me. If you veer off, when you come to church, you will hear and you will realize. What we have to understand is the Spirit of God, the river of God, the outpouring of God flows forth strictly only by the word of God, the correct interpretation of the word of God. And lies, wrong interpretation of the word of God, has what? The plowed waters, the evil waters. And we have to understand. Please let's open to Revelation chapter 12 and also light the book of Ezekiel chapter 29. You will see there the dragon, also known as the devil, also known as the serpent, Satan, is the owner of the plowed waters. As he speaks his lies, proud waters flow from him. Remember, he's trying to be like God, to mimic God. As God speaks truth, the living waters, river of God, flows forth. And once you are hearing the word of God, you'll be drinking of that living waters. But the proud waters, only one source. It is also called the evil waters, wicked waters, lying waters. It is only of the devil. Please, let's read Revelation chapter 12. Let's drop down to verse 15. Please, let's go. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. So we see where the proud waters flow from the devil, from serpent, from the enemy. And we know that John chapter 8 verse 44 says he's the what? The father of lies. So as he speaks wrong doctrines through anybody, through anyone, as he speaks lies, proud waters is flowing. You have to understand. That is why it is important for you to make sure you know the truth yourself. You cannot afford not to read the Bible yourself. We've seen it, lies, wrong doctrines, proud waters flow forth from the devil, who is the what? Father of lies. Whether it is wrong doctrines, it is lies. Whether it is wrongly division of the word of God, it is lies. Whether it is strange doctrine, not even from the scriptures in the Bible, it is still wrong, lies. And proud waters, they are product of the devil, who is the father of lies, and he pours forth proud waters as he's speaking lies. As lies is coming forth from anyone, proud waters is flowing, because it is the devil using that person. And so we have to be careful. Let's drop down to verse 17. Please, let's go. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now see a key. The father of lies is warring against those who hold on to truth. What do you think he'll be doing? Trying for you to let go of truth and receive his lies. These are things we have to understand. And so you have to know truth and keep looking into that truth. Don't let it go. Because if you take your eyes off of truth, you will let it go and you will receive lies. So it is your duty, your responsibility to make sure you know truth, and to make sure your household, your children, grandchildren, they pass it on. Tell them you need to know truth for yourself. It is the truth you know that will set you free and keep you free from lies. And so we have to understand some basic things. Now, let's just look at some things so that we will understand certain things. And so we see the enemy brings in wrong things. Of course, he will use the scriptures. The proud mind, the proud person will be used to what? To propagate such things. But you have to know truth yourself, because we are followers of Jesus. We have to understand only Jesus is without sin. Only Jesus is truth. And so only Christ do we follow. All men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Even as believers, we still sin, because only the spirit man is born again. The soul and the body, they are not born again. So we see that truth, only Christ is truth, and we look into the scriptures to search how Christ is. He says, search the scriptures. In there you think you have eternal life. These are the same scriptures that speak of me, him, Christ, not me. And so we see a great key. Please let's open to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 1, and it says there, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Be ye followers of me, even as I also, I also am of Christ. In other words, look at how I'm looking into the scriptures. Knowing Christ and following Christ. You too do the same. Know Christ and follow Christ. It is not that they should follow him and then try and see what is Apostle Paul, what is he eating today? How did he kneel down? How is he speaking? Okay, what clothes? Okay. Oh, what a, no, that's not what he was saying. And you know, it is not only in our age that people got it wrong. Even in his days, they too, they got it wrong. Let's open to the same 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And you will see that in his days too, they got it wrong. They got it wrong. They misinterpreted. And yet, they have themselves to blame. Because no matter, once you have truly accepted Christ, if you are hearing wrong things, the Holy Spirit will minister to you that something is wrong somewhere. And then, if you are of the right heart, you will not go that way. So really, no matter what we hear here, if we are of God, there is always an inner witness that something is wrong somewhere. Unless you shut your ears, hardened your ears to the voice of the Spirit, warning you that something is wrong here, something is not right here. Please let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's zero down to verse 4. Please let's go. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watereth, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planted anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. See a key. That is the Paul who many thought he said they should be following him. Now, that is him now clarifying, saying, who is he? Who is Apollos? It is God. And you have to understand, Paul kept on saying that he does all things through Christ. Who what? Who strengthens him? Always speaking about Christ. If you read the epistles of Paul, the Holy Spirit spoke through him mainly of Christ. Even when he was going through the afflictions of life, what did he say? The grace of Christ, the power of Christ is what? Sufficient for him. That in his weakness is the power, the strength of Christ, the grace of Christ made what? Manifest. So, if you just read one verse, follow me as I follow Christ, you'll be following man. But if you read the whole counsel of God, you will realize what he was saying. That as you see me looking into the scriptures, growing in the knowledge of Christ more and more, depending on him, all the troubles of life, you too do the same. Depend on Christ. If you read this particular chapter, you will realize, because he says, who is he? Who is Apollos? In other words, you could see the habit of following man, even in the church, started then. He had to correct them by the Spirit of God. It's not the preacher, it's the preacher is making Christ known so that you know him. And we all know 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 18 says, grow in the knowledge of Christ and in what? In the grace of Christ. As you are knowing Christ, you receive the power of Christ. And so we see a great key. Wrong doctrines, wrong things, but you have to read it yourself under the guidance of the Holy Ghost. You can't do without the study of the Word of God. You be led astray if you don't study it yourself daily, for yourself and your household. And so again, we see that lies is of the devil. And lies has what? Proud waters. And we have to understand proud waters. Proud words, lies. And it is also foolishness. Pride is what? Foolishness. The proud goes the way of foolishness. No wisdom of God. No knowledge of the way of God. God is truth. God has his way, which is according to truth. Truth, the way of truth, the good way, they go hand in hand with the word of God. But lies goes with what? Wickedness, sinful ways. Proud ways, foolish ways. We have to know the clear cut is a vast, difference. But you won't know whether a way is good or bad if you don't study the Word of God. For only God has the knowledge of all things. Only God can show you and I by His Word which ways, which thoughts, which attitudes are bad, and which way, which attitude is good. So you can see the proud way is filled with what? Foolishness, wickedness, sin. And it is also called the broad and wide way. And it leads to where? Destruction. So we can see the way of truth is different from the way of lies, from the way of sin. Wrong doctrines lead to sin, lies, you know, lying ways. Truth leads to truthful ways, doing things the way of God, going the way of God, comporting self the way of God, obeying God. And so we see the proud way, which is the wide and the broad way that leads to destruction. And we see the narrow and hard way that leads to life. And so, why are we going over these things? We have to understand that since we don't know which way is good or bad, God will correct us. He will show us this way is bad. This is the right way. Walk ye in it. And it is a choice for you and I to heed the correction and decide to go the good way. And when we make that choice to go the good way, He will supply His grace. When we do wrong things, He will correct us. That is the lifestyle of God. He corrects His sons. And so it is very important for us to realize that we have to take correction. Corrective reproof is very important in God's kingdom. To acknowledge correction, to yield to correction, to allow Him to convict us of bad ways that we are walking in, or bad thoughts, little things and the big things. He will correct us, but you and I have to have the heart that yields to correction. In other words, allow the word of God to convict us of sin. In other words, allow Him to produce by His word genuine godly sorrow concerning our ways, and make the choice that, oh, I won't do that again. Lord, help me. In other words, the conviction God does when He speaks to our heart, we have to allow it to do His work in our lives. Godly sorrow that leads to genuine repentance is what the Lord is talking about. So that we make a U-turn from sinful thoughts, sinful ways, sinful attitudes, sinful habits, and turn and go on the right way. He will always tell us the wide and broad way. You are walking on it. That is the wide way, the broad way, the way you are doing things. That is the broad way, the wide way. Go onto the narrow and hard way. This is the way, walk in it. And we have to understand the importance of being corrected of the fallen sinful ways, and then heeding so that we go onto the narrow and hard way. For there's a great key. Please let's open to, let's first start with Isaiah chapter 30 and Let's look at it from verse 18 to 21. Let's read it together. Please let's go. And therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more. But thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. Amen. See the last verse. This is the way, walk ye in it. Showing you and I that God will always point out to us the right way to do things, the narrow and hard way to go on. As we are studying the Bible, as we go about day to day, God will always be correcting you and I. Anything we do wrong, don't let's fool ourselves. God corrects all sons of men on the face of the earth. Everyone, even a child, God speaks to the heart of all men. And so we see that verse is linked with God being gracious, blessing us. This is for you and I to understand there is a great key. Let's open to Job chapter 5, and then we will understand more and more what the Lord is telling you and I. The Lord uses the corrective reproof of the word of the knowledge of God as a great process to bless us, to work in our lives, to do great and mighty things. Anyone who does not yield to the corrective reproof of the word of God is proud. And we know God receives the proud and gives grace. He gives power. He gives more of his spirit to the humble. And so you see why we have to be careful, for pride is of the devil, proud waters. We have to understand that if we want to partake of the Spirit of God, the power of God, blessings of God, any help from God, we cannot afford to shut our ears to the corrective reproof of the Word of God concerning the way we think, the way we act, the way we do things, concerning our lifestyle. He has to correct us because we are his sons. Please let's read Job chapter 5. Let's take it from verse 17 to the end. Please let's go. Behold, happy is the man whom God corrected. Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty, for he maketh sore and bindeth up. He wounded and his hands make whole. He shall deliver thee in 6 troubles, yea, in 7. There shall no evil touch thee. In famine he shall redeem thee from death, and in war from the power of the sword. Thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue, neither shalt thou be afraid of destruction when it cometh. At destruction and famine thou shalt laugh, neither shalt thou be afraid of the beast of the earth. For thou shalt be in league with the stones of the field, and the beast of the field shall be at peace with thee. And thou shalt know that thy tabernacle shall be in peace, And thou shalt visit thy habitation and shall not sin. Thou shalt know also that thy seed shall be great and thine offspring as the grass of the earth. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season. Lo, this we have searched it, so it is. Hear it, and know thou it for thy good. See a key right from that. The Lord will correct you and I. Happy is if you yield. Happy are you if you yield, if you don't despise the correction of the Word of God concerning your thoughts, the things you do, the things you are planning to do, every area of life, your household. God will correct you and I. We must not despise it. Happy is the person that does not despise the correction of the Lord. And look at it, all the blessings. Verse 17 again says, behold, happy is the man whom God corrected. See a key. Yes, when we are corrected, of course, our feelings may be what? Wounded. You know, there will be sorrow, some kind of discomfort. So I've not done it right. Look at, you know, you may feel embarrassed about it, you know, sorrow. And this is what verse 18 says. The Lord's correction. See verse 18. For he maketh sore and binded up, he wounded, and his hands make whole. Of course, you'll be what? Downcast, isn't it? Sad. You know, God's correction will wound our spirit, wound us in the soul. We will feel discomfort. But he himself, he will bind us up again. After correcting us, hurting our feelings, he will heal us. He will make us to now rejoice in the midst of that correction because we accepted. And then, look at the rest verses. You'll be blessed. You'll be blessed. Blessings will come. Grace will come. He will sort you out. This is the way of the Lord's blessing. And so, anyone who does not yield to correction, it may be from the pulpit, it may be as you are reading your Bible, it may be somebody speaking to you that you have done this wrong. Accept and yield. And then ask for forgiveness of sin and ask for grace to now do it right and not do so again. That is the way of God. That is how God wins us or purges us of the sinful ways and make us to go on the right way, supplying grace. We have to understand this is basic. Without you and I humbling ourselves to the Word of God, allowing Him to guide us in the way of life, how to live daily, what to think, how to do. If we don't allow Him to teach us how to depend on Him, we won't be blessed. Simple. Please let's open to 2 Chronicles. Yes. And we have to understand the Lord will keep warning His children. He will keep telling us we've done things wrong. He will keep sending people who will preach His word. He will keep sending His word to you and I. If we refuse the word of correction, we can't receive the word of blessing. Tell somebody, if you refuse, the word of correction. You can't receive the word of blessing. You can't receive the word of healing. You can't receive the word of favor. You can't receive the word of breakthrough because you have rejected the word of correction. And so we see a great key. He will keep warning us, but we have to understand that there comes a point when there is no remedy. He will leave us to our own devices. Let's use an example of the prodigal son. Remember, he was with his father. He was enjoying with his father. Everything the father had, the two sons, they had it too. But he decided to go his own way. He left the narrow way, the narrow and hard way, and went onto the wide and broad way. He went doing his own thing, living his own lifestyle, the proud way. And so he took the goods. Now, see a key. He got blessings from God, isn't it? From his father. And yet he lost it. You have to understand. He lost the blessing because he was living on the broad and wide way. Do you know that the Spirit of God would have convicted him even while he was making plans to go? He still made the choice to go. And when troubles started, God was still telling him. His heart will be telling him, return back to the Father. Return back to your Father. He continued. Even while he was living the sinful life, the Spirit of God will be convicting him. But thank God he came to his senses and said, I will return back to my Father. Do you know that if he did not return back, the Father won't go looking for him? Not only will he be eating food of the pigs, he will be going down, degenerating further and further. But we thank God that he had the sense to return back to his father. But one thing you and I, we have to understand, the other son, the elder one who did not leave, when he was complaining, what did the father say to him? He said, all what I have is yours. Simple. So in the narrow and hard way, in the way of yielding and going on the narrow and hard way, is the blessing. All what the father had is the son who stayed. Of course, temptations will have come. He yielded to what? Correction. And so we see a great key. All what the father had is the son who stayed on the narrow and hard way. And it's the same thing too. Our father is the owner of cattle on a thousand hills. All what God has, he has already given to us. But we maintain it. And we enjoy all what is given to us in Christ Jesus by yielding to correction and staying on the narrow and hard way. We have to understand that key. There comes a time when, as God is correcting us and we continue to do things our own way, when there is no remedy. Remember, broad and wide is the way that leads to destruction. That prodigal son quickly yielded, for he was on the path to what? Destruction. Now, let's look at this story in 2 Chronicles chapter 36. We will see those who did not yield, several corrections. When no remedy, then they will reap destruction. It is quite clear in the scriptures. Please let's read. Please read on your own 2 Chronicles chapter 36 from verse 11 to 21. But let's take it from verse 11 to 17 together. Please let's go. Zedekiah was 120 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God. But he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen, and polluted the house of the Lord which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God, and despised his words, and misused his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy. Please underline that. Yes, God is patient, long-suffering. He will always be speaking to us, but we have to understand that there comes a time when there is no what? Remedy. We have to understand the wide and broad way leads to what? Destruction. The Lord will be correcting us, hoping that we will yield, we will humble ourselves, we will realize, like the prodigal son who was on the wide and broad way till he came to his senses and went back onto the narrow and hard way. And God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will keep warning us of the wrong doctrines, the wrong things, the sinful ways. He will keep warning his people. But look, there comes a time till there was no remedy. Verse 17, please let's read it together. Therefore he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon young man or maiden, old man or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand, because they were all on the wide and broad way. You have to understand, they yielded not to correction. When the word of God comes, the word of God will always convict us. We have to understand, it will always tell us things we're doing wrong, whether in our thoughts or in our deeds or even attitude. It will always tell us. Even in the lifestyle, whether at home, at work, every area of our lives is of utmost importance to our God, because we are his sons. remember. Please let's read 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll see there the word of God. From verse 14 to 18. Please let's go. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You and I, we are men of God. We have all accepted Christ. But see a key, the word of God is profitable for what? Doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that we do by the power of God the good things that the word of God is saying, living the God kind of life, the way of truth, obedience in every area of our lives. The word of God will tell us what we're doing wrong, whether we are not thinking right, it will tell us. Speaking right, it will tell us. Living right, it will tell us. If we yield, we'll be blessed. If we yield, we'll be blessed. And so we see a great key. But there comes a time when there is no remedy. And remember, Revelations also speak of if you are neither hot nor cold, he says what? He will spew you out of his mouth. In other words, getting to the point of no more remedy. And we have to understand these basic things. Correction is central. Yielding to correction is central to God's dealings with man. We have to understand these basic things. When we yield and we continue to yield, God will correct us constantly all of our days on the face of the earth. We have to understand that. And if we yield, I tell you, we'll have nice days, days of heaven on earth. We'll be blessed. We will receive help. God will not help the proud. The proud is the person that does not yield to the word of God, to the correction of God, and just goes his own way. The prodigal son was not helped by God till he returned back to his father. You have to understand these basic things. Please let's open to Isaiah chapter 55. We will see there again that the blessing, breakthroughs, help with the troubles of life is linked with receiving correction, taking correction and turning away from wrong ways and going back on the narrow and hard way. Isaiah chapter 55. Please read the whole chapter on your own. We see it that from verse 1 to verse 5, it says there, keep hearing the word of God. Keep hearing the word of God. Keep hearing the word of God daily. But let's take it from verse 6 to verse 9. Please let's go. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. See a great key. As we are seeking the Lord, we will be corrected of our sinful ways. Every one of us. Only Jesus, only God is righteous and does not sin at all and will never sin. And as long as we are in this earthen vessel, we will sin in thoughts and in ways. And that is where the corrective reproof of the Word of God comes in. Remember, the Word of God is the lamp to our feet and light to our path. It will show us the right way to do things, the right way to think, the right way to act. Every aspect, the Word of God will shine the light and we will see. And it is left for you and I to accept and forsake the wicked way, the unrighteous thoughts, all the things we do wrong. We ask for forgiveness of sin in the name of Jesus, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse us anew, and we will move on by his grace. Therein is the blessing. When the prodigal son accepted that he made the wrong choice and that he has sinned, he was on the wrong way. When he accepted and returned back, he was blessed. See how they put clothes on him. He did not say, well, I'm sorry, and remain there. No, he returned back home. He made a total U-turn. He did not say, well, I've done it now. Now I have no choice. Okay. But look at, he returned back. He acknowledged that he has sinned and went to his father to repent. And it's the same thing too. We have to understand therein is the blessing. If we confess our sins, he's faithful to what? Forgive us and cleanse us of every unrighteousness. The blood of Jesus will cleanse us of all our sins. The blood is still flowing. And so we have to understand the way of God. Now, after this verse, look at the rest of the verses from verse 10. Oh, the end, you see the word blessing the people. The word blessing the people. We see the pattern, the verses 1 to 5 speaks of us hearing the word of God. Then from verse 6 to 9 speaks of what? Yielding, knowing from the word of God, we will know that our ways are wicked and that our thoughts, they are not right. We turn from them, yield, and then verse 10 says, the word of God is the rain on your life and my life. It will produce fruit. It will achieve what God sent it to do in our lives. And then verse 12 says, joy, we'll have peace, all our land will be singing, we'll have corn, we'll have good things, and not thorns, not briars, which is the way of wide and broad way. So we see the clear-cut difference. God will not do anything in our lives until we start to yield. We have to allow Him to treat us as sons. He has to train us to know His own way. We have to learn the way that is right so that we receive grace and go on that way. God will not help us if we don't yield to the corrective reproof of the Word of God. No blessing, nothing. We have to know it is the way of God according to truth. Amen, amen. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Now, please let's quickly open to these verses so that we will have it in the balance. We will know that our God will always bless those who are of a contrite and repentant heart, those who yield to correction. They are of the contrite and repentant heart. Please let's open quickly to Psalm 51, verse 17. We may need to move faster now. Psalm 51, verse 17. Let's look at these scriptures together before we go. Please let's go. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou will not despise. See that? God will not despise the broken and contrite heart. He loves us to accept correction and be sorry and be broken for our sins in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's open to Isaiah chapter 66, verses 1 and 2 together. Let's go. Amen. Once you are there. Okay, let's go. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all these things have my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. Let's read the last few sentences again. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. The poor there is not in monetary terms. No, the poor in spirit, the lowly in spirit, who yields to correction of God. And so we see a great key. Let's open to Proverbs chapter 15, verse 13. I will encourage us to read it from verse 9 to 13. In fact, let's read it from verse 9 to 13. But 13 is where we're going. Please let's go. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he loveth him that followeth after righteousness. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. Hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more then the hearts of the children of men? A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. See a key. By sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. So the word of God, the word of God corrects, convicts, and then when we genuinely are sorry and sorrowful for sins, then we repent and we go onto the good way. And so again, we see that the contrite and repentant heart, the Lord will what? Look upon. And that contrite and repentant heart is somebody that yields to correction. Correction is central, vital in God's kingdom. Very, very important. Let's open to Psalm 44 and then we will see. Okay, let's open to Numbers chapter 6 first. Then we see that the look of God, when God says he will look upon those who are of a contrite and repentant heart, we have to understand the blessing, what we are receiving from that look of God. God's presence in our lives, looking upon our lives, everything pertaining to you and I, we are blessed because we are of what? A contrite and repentant heart. We are humble. We are yielded to correction. So the look of God, God's eyes are what? Always upon our lives. That's what you have to understand. So correction, I tell you, is a blessing. We are blessed when we accept correction. We are blessed. We are helped. We have breakthroughs. We have grace to do all things when we accept divine corrective reproof of the word of God. We have to understand therein is the blessing. Please let's read Numbers 6 from verse 22 to 27. Please let's go. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. So we see that there's something special about the look of God. God looking upon us. That look alone is the look of power, look of grace, look of great blessing upon our lives. And he has said, to this person will I look upon. The one who is of a contrite and a broken heart. The one who is humble, lowly in heart. The one who trembles at my word. When he hears the word of correction, easily accepts and repents and goes on to the right way. That is the person that is most blessed. Finally, let's look at Psalm 44. Verses 1 to 3. Psalm 44. Please let's go. We have heard with our ears, O God. Our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days, in the times of old, how thou didst drive out the heathen with thy hand and planted them, how thou didst afflict the people and cast them out. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thine arm, and the light of thy countenance, because thou hast a favor unto them. Amen. See a great key? I tell you, tell somebody it is good to accept correction. There is no harm in being told you are wrong and go on the right way. It is pride if you refuse to accept godly correction. That is pride. And Satan is the proud being. Always remember, you are of your Father, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We are never of the devil, for he is the liar. He is the proud being. He is the one who would never accept correction of God. We are sons of God in Christ Jesus. Our Father will correct us and we will yield in the mighty name of Jesus. There is blessing in correction. There is breakthrough, healing, progress. We will not lack any good thing in correction. We are sons of God. He will correct us. That is the way of the sons of God. Let's give him all the glory. Let's thank him for all what we've heard. We give God all the glory. Let's thank him for his word to our hearts. Lord, we thank you. We give you all the glory. Lord, we bless you. We thank you. We give you all the glory. Lord, we bless you. We give God all the glory. Amen and amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now let's ask grace. Let's ask for grace. If you have made a choice to abide by the correction of God, let's ask for grace. Let's tell God that we have made a choice, that we are his sons, and we want him to correct us in every area of our lives, to guide us on the face of the earth, even our children, our grandchildren, our spouses. We've made a choice that he knows the right way to live. He knows the right way to think. He knows tomorrow. He knows yesterday. We've made a choice that as he corrects us, we will always yield. We want to always yield. And we ask him for grace to help us to always yield when he corrects us. The Lord corrects in big things, little things, minute things. He will correct you and I, even in the way we think, the way, the attitude. He will correct you and I. Now tell him, you have made a choice to receive, to abide, to yield, to submit, to heed the corrective reproofs of God in every area of life. You've made that choice, and that he should supply you grace to always yield. And you receive grace in Christ Jesus to always yield to divine correction of God in the name of Jesus. And you receive grace to also humble your heart to every correction of God in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for every one of us in this church and every member of the body of Christ, every one of us, Lord. Lord, you know us all, Lord. Thank you that we have made the choice, and Lord, move every one of us, all those at home, to make the choice as well, to always yield to divine correction. Your word will correct us, and your word will reprove us. We know and we have accepted, Lord. And we are happy, Lord, to be corrected, to be reproved by your word and through your Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you for grace grace to yield, grace to heed, grace to submit, Lord, to be of a humble heart, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your grace like a river pouring forth upon every household, upon us all, upon all we your own on the face of the earth. Lord, we give all the glory that we are hearers and doers of your word. Thank you, Lord, as you pour forth into our hearts love for correction, love for reproof of the word of God in the name of Jesus. That we would love to be corrected, Lord, and we would love to heed and go on the right way. We will love you and your word, Lord of glory. Thank you for this love in our hearts, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we give all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.